Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording made in Wellspring Church in central Watford. We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. But much better than this is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you. I'm expectant that in this next hour together, God's going to do some stuff in us, I mean. Before that, I just want to give glory to God for healing my mother-in-law. I have the best mother-in-law on the planet. And that's not the beginning of a joke. Right, it's an actual fact. Helen's mum is amazing. And she was diagnosed as having a severe tumour on her bladder. And it was so quick how all of this went, the timeline. There wasn't really even time to raise up a huge army of prayer. Her church in Kingston upon Thames, or in Esher in Surrey, were praying for her. There was a cancellation. She had an operation on Friday, and they did a CT scan, and they couldn't find any cancers anywhere else in her body. She's 80. And then when they went in with their scope to look at the bladder and then with all their instruments through the keyhole to cut this lump away, they couldn't find a lump. Isn't that mad? Like nothing. There was just a red mark on the wall of the bladder where it had been, and it's gone. Isn't that amazing? Now, I'd love to say that was a direct result of my prayer and fasting, but I really hadn't caught up with the news quick enough to even do that. But, you know, it only takes a prayer. It only takes a crying from the Lord, and the Lord is able to do something really, really amazing. So no cancer in her body, and even on her bladder, no tumor. Now, that is amazing. One touch from heaven can do stuff like that. Isn't that amazing? I today really want to build your faith that God is able to do way more than you've ever seen him do in the past. He's able to do infinitely more, is our verse for the year, according to his power at work in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us and he wants to do massive things. God's got big plans. Can I hear an amen? If you are here as a visitor and you're not used to hearing me preach, there is a ratio of time to the number of amens that I hear, okay? Not whispered, but if you allowed amen, means I go quicker. And I even preach better that way, right? So that's just a deal we've got between us. Is that all right? I also want to mention a couple other things. Firstly, to give thanks to God for his blessing on my wife, Helen. She's on sabbatical, as many of you know, and her writing is going well. And also to thank God for this time last year, Helen and I co-wrote a book called No More Friendly Fire. I know all of you have 5 copies of this and you've read it cover to cover and you've reread it because it's that, no. That was a joke. But the book is written to end the gender war in the church. It's a clarion call to put gift before gender in the house of God. And we're really glad to say that it's helped many people in different parts of the country. But we just heard this week that Christian Churches of Ireland, which is the Assemblies of God equivalent in the Republic and Northern Ireland, is one group. They ordered copies that we sent them that was for every pastor in CCI. And they've just had their conference, Movement 19, in Dublin. And they gave a copy of the book because they want to see more and more women given space to grow in their spiritual gifts in the church in Ireland and actually see, instead of just equality, a synergy between male and female in the house of God all the way across Ireland. Isn't that amazing? So as we pray, we come to the awareness that the word of God is powerful and awesome and challenges our mindsets. And the Word of God is the ultimate authority in our lives. And when we come to do this, we do this with expectancy that maybe our minds might need to shift, our hearts might need to expand, because God is revealing His will to us through the pages of this book. Amen? And what I'm speaking today is the first part of a two-part message, if you like, shared with Dr. John Andrews. He's from Northern Ireland, actually. John Andrews is going to be here next week. And we've prepared this kind of mini-series on Isaiah 54 together. If you've not heard John speak, you will not want to miss it. He is really an amazing teacher of the Word of God. And if you do miss it, it's available on our podcast. You won't want to miss on hearing what God says through him. But before we go any further, I think it's important that we do pray for ourselves and for the illumination of what's in here in our hearts. Because this is not about entertainment. I'm not here to give you information to prove how much I've studied or even how much I've prayed. We are here together standing around the awesome revelation of God's heart and will through the pages of this book. And we're all going to go by the end, wow, that is cool. And God is big. Are you ready for that? If you've got a physical Bible, you know, a paper one like this, grab it in your hand. And if you depend upon a digital version, would you be so kind as to join me in getting that app up on your phone or your device? And because I want us to pray, if you like, with the Word of God in our hands, that we might see Him. And it's just, I think it'd be a good thing to do. Is that all right? Is that all right? You with me? Not many amens. We're going to be here till 3 p.m. I could preach a long time. No, just that wasn't a threat. So let's hold the Word of God in our hands and really in our hearts and just say a simple prayer and then we'll launch into it. Heavenly Father, there's so many lies all around us, so much deceit. And actually, Lord, there's so many lies in our head as well, all fueled by just nonsense and folly. And so, God, as we come to your word, we say, God, we need wisdom from heaven, not more ideas from earth. We need, Holy Spirit, we need you to illuminate what we read together, that it might set fire the faith in our hearts. And Lord, we've all had moments where we've read something and it's leapt out of the page at us or leapt off the screen and it changes us, Lord. And we're looking for that today. We're hungry for that today. And so we say, Holy Spirit, would you reveal the living Word of God through what we read and study together? And Lord, we give you permission to change our thinking, to change our dreaming, to expand our hearts as we do this. So Lord, we say, have your way in this place, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, and for his glory. Amen. Amen. Okay, we are in the book of Isaiah. We've been spending time here because we feel the Holy Spirit led us to respond to the call of a few chapters in the 50s of Isaiah because the message seems so relevant to where we sense God has us as a church. Let me spell that out. Is that God is wanting to restore things in our lives and in our life together as a church that means going beyond what we've experienced before. And the context of this section of Isaiah is that the people of God are in exile. They're a long way from home. They're a long way from Jerusalem. In that sense, they're a long way from what they recognize as the presence of God, the holy city, you know, where the cloud filled the tabernacle and the cloud of God's presence filled the temple, where all these great stories, it was all in Jerusalem. It was all in the temple. It was all over there. And they are a long way from home. They are under slavery in Babylon. They are under captivity. And so God speaks to them about returning home, about going back to the promised land, if you like, going back. But before they do, in chapters 51 and 52, there's some real challenges. He basically says, look, listen up, wake up, get ready, have a clear out, because there are some things in your hearts that need to be left behind because you can't take that with you when I return you from exile. This is the heart of God. Get ready. And we believe this is what God is saying to us as Wellspring Church, is that we need to clear out some rubbish because we don't need that where we're going. God is leading us to a greater life of following Jesus without all the baggage of the past. Can I hear an amen? And so that means it's quite painful. It's quite challenging. It means having a clear out and then getting ready to go home. At the end of chapter 52, there's a transition. If you see this and if you've got your Bibles open in front of you, you'll see it transitions to talk about the suffering servant. In Isaiah 53, we spent time over this over Easter, looking into the prophecy that the return from exile, like the return into God's perfect will, was going to be made possible through the suffering of the Messiah. And so he would be despised and rejected. And verse 5 of chapter 53, but he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. The Hebrew word used there is shalom. It was for his punishment that brought us peace. God's plan was to bring his people back into peace. And so the means by which it wasn't possible to do that without the suffering of the Messiah. So he was beaten and he died. As we looked at over Easter, his suffering amazingly, mysteriously brings peace to us as he suffers in our place. Then we get to the end of chapter 53, and this will come up on the screen. I'm just going to read to you the final three verses of the chapter as it explains why the Messiah needs to suffer. And he says this, but it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he'll be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. That's how it finishes, talking about the servant. The question is, so he was resurrected. He was victorious over death in order to bring many. Everyone say many. Many. To bring many descendants. You see, the heart of God, as expressed to Abraham centuries before, his heart was to bring many into his presence. And that Israel, the people, the tribe of Israel, would be a blessing to all nations. That there would be many descendants of faith, descendants of Abraham. That it was the promise was always for the nations. And we thank God for that, don't we? We thank God that God always had you and I as Gentiles in mind when he blessed Abraham. And the same way, this promise is reiterated that many descendants were going to come. Now, if you're in exile, if you're barren, if there's no fruitfulness around you, if you feel under slavery, if you feel like your legs have been cut off underneath you, and you feel like you're broken and you're a long way from home, the word of the Lord has immense power. But along with the power comes an immense challenge. It's what is our attitude when things are not going as we planned? I want to ask you a question. What is your attitude when things are not going as you planned? What do we do? Well, actually, what we tend to do, most of us in our humanity, is we tend to moan in our misery. We tend to lament in our loss. And that's a natural thing to do, to lament. There's nothing wrong with a lament. There's laments even in the scripture. But some of us, we fall into a faithless cynicism because of what we see around us. And so now let's hear, what does the Lord say? Does the Lord say, there? Does the Lord say, oh, don't worry. I know it's really tough, isn't it? Oh, it's really tough. Yeah, that's just how it is. Well, you messed it up. That's why you're in exile. He says that in other places, but hear the heart of the Lord in what we read at the beginning of chapter 54. This is really awesome. Hear the heart of the Lord. The Lord starts to call out to Jerusalem, to the holy city, and he says this. Sing, O childless woman, you who've never given birth. Break into loud and joyful song, O Jerusalem, you who have never been in labor. For the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband, says the Lord. Then listen to this. Enlarge your house and build an addition. Spread out your home and spare no expense. For you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities. Fear not. You will no longer live in shame. This is a word for someone right now. Don't be afraid. There is no more disgrace for you. You will no longer remember the shame of your youth and the sorrows of widowhood, for your Creator will be your husband. The Lord of heaven's armies is his name. He is your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of all the earth. For the Lord has called you back from your grief. Hallelujah. As though you were a young wife abandoned by her husband, says your God. For a brief moment I abandoned you, but with great compassion I will take you back. Can you hear the heart of God? He calls out to Jerusalem. He says, look, I know you've been barren, but guess what? I want you to sing of fruitfulness. I know things are broken down, but I want you to sing of restoration. I know things are nothing like what you expected, but I want you to sing with hope, because I'm going to do something really awesome and amazing. I want you to enlarge your tent. It says in the Hebrew, it uses the language of a tent, a bit like the one on the screen here, like a Bedouin tent. It means get some more cloth, some tent curtains, and add it to what you've already got. It means lift up the pegs underneath your feet, you know, the boundaries that have kept you contained. This is a word for someone here today. You've been contained, and the Lord is saying, now I want you to unpeg, disconnect from what is containing you. Move your boundaries, stretch out your tent, lengthen the cords, or as it says, New Living Translation, spare no expense. Now is the time to get ready, because many descendants are coming your way. Oh, Jerusalem, I know you're in ruins, but even though you're in ruins, I want you to sing like you're bursting with people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the word of the Lord. For someone today, this is the Lord speaking to you. Now, I want to say, we're not just going to hear the word of the Lord. We're going to do some responding, and we're going to actually do what we're hearing about in a few minutes. Just to give you a warning, we're going to start singing, and we're going to do some declaration together. But before we do that, I just want to read this to you from a paraphrase written by Eugene Peterson, who studied the Hebrew text and then put it in really kind of modern language. And I want you to hear this from Isaiah 54. Sing, barren woman who has never had a baby. Fill the air with song, you who've never experienced childbirth. You're ending up with far more children than all these childbearing women. God says so. Clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large. Spread out. Think big. Use plenty of rope. Drive the tent peg deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. Hallelujah. You're going to take over whole nations. You're going to resettle abandoned cities. Don't be afraid. You're not going to be embarrassed. Don't hold back. You're not going to come up short. You'll forget all about the humiliations of your youth, and the indignities of being a widow will fade from memory. For your Maker is your bridegroom, his name, God of the angel armies. Your Redeemer is the Holy of Israel, known as God of the whole earth. Hallelujah. Those are hard words to read if you've experienced the agony of barrenness. What do you mean you want me to sing? I don't feel like singing. Those are hard words to respond to in a midlife crisis. You know, a genuine crisis, when you get into 30s, it can happen, and 40s, 50s, when life hasn't turned out like the teenage dream. This isn't what I expected. And maybe for some of us here, we've experienced ourselves the agony of barrenness, as in not having a fruitful womb. There could be loads of ways that that happens. Sometimes that we long to get married when we were younger and that didn't happen. We haven't had a life partner, or we weren't able to have physical children even though we tried. And I'm trying to be sensitive to that, but Isaiah seems to speak into the heart of that and say, I know you've experienced this loss, but now I want you to sing of fruitfulness. in this context, I want you to sing, because guess what? The Lord has got great things for you. Many descendants. And by that, descendants like the Gentiles being brought in, not your own physical children, but spiritual children. I want to say this to you, is that you don't need to have children to be used by God. You don't need to bear children through your own activity or fruitfulness to be a fruitful Christian. Hallelujah. You don't need to be married to be fruitful. Can I hear an amen to this? You don't need to have children and have a family to live a fruitful life. In fact, that's a ridiculous suggestion. What this text tells us is that even if you can never have your own physical children, you can have descendants all over the place, because you're able to bring up young men and young women, boys and girls, and to parent them into fruitfulness. You are no more barren, even if you are barren, because God's able to do great things through you. Hallelujah. And so he says, sing. Sing. But I don't feel like singing. Do you ever feel that sometimes on a Sunday morning? You come to the service, you've done quite well just to get here. Someone came to me after the first service that we had this morning and said, do you know what? It was all hell was at loose to stop me even coming to the service. So I just said, even if I get the last 5 minutes, I'm showing up. Sometimes we drag ourselves and everyone around us seems to be singing. La, la, la. It's like, I don't feel like singing. And the reason is because we know that singing isn't worship. Do we know that, don't we? Singing isn't worship, and worship isn't singing. Music isn't worship. But God's given us music that when singing of truth comes in, then there becomes a moment when we're connected with the truth that we're singing, then it becomes worship. You've all had that experience, moments where you're aware that the words really live in you. It's a really awesome thing. So sometimes I find myself singing with the hope that at some point it will become true worship. And it will connect. And do you know what? I've not had hardly any bad worship times. Oh, that service wasn't good for me. Well, firstly, it wasn't for you. But do you know what? Even if I'm in a monastery in North Africa, there was one in Egypt, I was there and thinking, do you know, I don't connect with this at all. I met the Lord and was able to give him worship, even in a Coptic monastery. It doesn't matter where we are, we can give him worship from our hearts. Anyway, I don't know where I went with that. I found myself in Egypt all of a sudden. This is what I want to say to you. In a moment, there's going to be the opportunity for us to sing. And we're going to sing of the miracle-making power of God. And as we sing, something is going to trigger in our hearts. And this might only be for one person here. This might just be for you. Is that in your anguish, you're going to find a new song. And that will be the Holy Spirit of God stirring up faith in you again. And we're going to sing a simple refrain that says, I believe in miracles. And there's miracles that you've stopped even praying for because you're that disappointed and because you're that dragged down. But do you know what? In the singing of truth comes a work, comes a connection with the truth. And do you know what? Miracles are on their way as you confess with your mouth and as you sing with your heart of his power and his strength. Hallelujah. Is that all right? We'll come back to the word in a few minutes, but I want to encourage you right now. You can worship sitting down or on your face or wherever, but if you're able to stand, it might just be the beginning of stirring yourself. And just for a few minutes, we'll take as long as this needs and we'll come back to the word. Don't worry about the timing. I'm not worried. I'm more worried about what happens in our hearts. Is I want to invite you, put your Bibles down, shake yourself, anything that's holding you back, and we're going to sing. And Johnny and the band, they're not going to worship instead of us. They're going to lead us into singing truth. And as I hand over to him, I want to simply say this. If there's a miracle that you need to sing into being, if there's a breakthrough that you know you desperately need for, then sing over that situation. We serve and we worship a miracle-making God, and there's nothing too difficult for him. And in his name, cancers shrink and disappear. Amen? There's nothing too difficult for him. So Holy Spirit, we pray right now that we might meet you in this, Lord, and that you'd fill our song. Enable us to sing, Lord. We believe in you. We believe in you. Yes, Lord. We believe in you, Lord. Our trust is in you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for what you're doing. We sense your presence here, Lord. It's not been hyped up. Sense that you're here in a very real way, God. Thank you, Lord, for the sweetness of your presence, Lord. Changes the atmosphere and changes our hearts. And Lord, we do pray you'd continue to expand our hearts, Lord, that we'll be able to sing about what you're going to do. Sing of your goodness and all your plans. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Might just want to take your seats just for a couple more minutes. We're going to do some praying together a bit more. I'm just reminded, you know, Bethany, our eldest, was about 3 years old, and so we'd maybe 4 years old, and we'd had a month after month of disappointment of failed pregnancy tests. And a lady called Rachel Hickson, who had been a leader here in what was then Watford Community Church, she was in a conference. And I'm just reminded, somebody came to her at the conference and said, I see a picture of a woman holding two children. And one was a baby and one was about 5 years old. And Rachel said, this woman said, can you describe what this woman looked like? And Rachel knew that actually it was Helen. That this word was not for Rachel, but actually it was for Helen. So I remember Rachel, I don't know whether it was called or we were in a meeting, she goes, you know, I need to know, I just went to this conference and the Lord confirmed you're going to have more kids. It's amazing when a prophecy like that can show us what God sees, because he sees beyond what we see, yes? Our minds are too small. Our vision is too blinkered. And I love it when God, through the gift of prophecy, speaks into a situation what is going to be. And we're going to do some praying along those lines in a moment, because I really believe it's time for us to expand our vision to see what God is going to do. And it says in 54, it says, sing, O childless woman, you who've never given birth. Break into loud and joyful song, O Jerusalem, you who've never been in labor. Listen to this. For the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband. The desolate means the one in despair, the one in a dry place, is encouraged to imagine having a throng of children, more than the family next door where they seem to pop babies out just like that. You know, some people seem to get pregnant so quickly, like that's really annoying. It can be really annoying if that's not happening for you. And yet, the woman who's in that desolate place is encouraged to see, surrounded by descendants. Abraham and Sarah were given that same kind of encouragement, weren't they? Abraham said, look at the stars, look at the sand. That's ridiculous, God. Yeah, it is ridiculous. I want to say what God has got planned for you, my friend, is ridiculous. For you too. The stuff he's got for you is, if he told you, you wouldn't be able to cope. Sister, be encouraged, okay? This word is for you. The Lord has got things planned for you that are way more than you dreamed. You think your dreams are big. God laughs at your dreams because they're nothing compared to what he's really capable of doing. That's for you specifically, but I think it's for all of us. God wants to expand our vision. He says, I want you to see what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. I was at a crucial point at deciding whether or not to propose to Helen. I was only 19 years old, 18, turning 19, and it's not really a normal thing to do, to get engaged at 19. I was at art college, and I felt the Lord calling me to go to study at London Bible College in Northwood, and now LST. And I was conflicted. I thought maybe God, I'd seen that, but maybe it was just my own weird ideas. Maybe I hadn't had enough sleep one night. I don't, you know, was it really from God? And I remember being in a meeting like this, and the guy who was speaking just called out something. He said, you in the back row, I remember where I was sitting in Blythe Jack School in Norwich. And he says, there's some plans that God's got, and what you've heard from him is right. You need to take the risk. And God's calling you to do unconventional things. So I thank God that I listened to what he said and not what my head was saying. And sometimes it needs the voice of someone else to come alongside us and do that. That's the gift of prophecy made available in the church of Jesus Christ. So this is what we're going to do for the next few minutes. Remember, we're not just going to hear the word of God, we're going to do it. So what I'd like us to do is we're going to spend some moment. The band will just play quietly. It provides just an atmosphere where we're not distracted by silence or by noises around us. The band are going to minister to us, but we're going to listen for the voice of God. And for some of us here today, we're actually here, and today we lack vision. We lack clarity about where God wants us to go next, or even where he wants us to go. And I want to give you the opportunity to receive the blessing of a prophetic encouragement. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to invite you, this is a safe place. No one's going to take pictures or put them on Instagram. This is what happens in this room, is about what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Is I'm going to give you the opportunity in a moment. If you need a word from the Lord today, to stand up, to take the risk and to stand as a sign of your openness. And then do you know what's going to happen? There are people who've got the Holy Spirit of God living in them, and they can hear from the voice of the Lord. And we're going to pray for each other. So if you're in the place today where you feel you need clarity of vision, I'm going to invite you now to stand. And what's going to happen is no one's going to ask you a question. They're actually just going to speak some truth into your life. Okay. That's good. Is there anyone else? Just lift your hands to the Lord. Just if you're standing, this is going to take a little bit of time, and I'm not stressed about that, but this is what's going to happen now. For the rest of us, we're going to listen. And then we're going to pray with confidence what the Lord says. And it might be if you're standing, the word of the Lord is going to come to you directly in this moment. You're going to hear his voice. But we're also going to give room for us to minister to each other. It might mean pushing past people on the row, but I want you to look around the room now, the rest of us, and I want you to say, Lord, is there something you want me to say to that person? And listen, it might be a word, it might be just a single word, it might be a prophetic, like a picture or a scripture. And for the next few minutes while the band play, we're going to minister to each other. You don't need to go prophesying dates and things like that, but just what the impression the Lord gives you. And if you're standing reaching out to the Lord, expect to hear his voice, either through someone around you, or just hear what the Lord would be saying to you in this time. So friends, please, let's not leave people standing without people praying for them, okay? So look around. If you're sitting down, now's your time to be active and to move around. And even if you've not done this before, I trust that God is going to use you to bring some encouragement, to just step out in faith. Amen. We're going to, just for a few minutes, going to return to the word of the Lord. You might want to just take your seats. If you're still in a place of prayer, just allow this to kind of wash over you. It's okay. As we've already heard, we need to expand our hearts and our vision, or actually we need to allow God to do that. But there's a third expansion that is in this passage that I feel we can spend a couple of minutes thinking about, and that's to expand our home, to welcome in all the people that God says he wants to bring in. I remember we lived in West Watford for the first few years of our married life, and Bethany had been born, and Ron Corzine, who is a very gifted spiritual father and leader from Texas. He used to come over a couple of times a year. And whenever he came, I remember the one time we were driving up to our house, and he goes, Tim, and Helen was in the car as well, Tim, when are you going to move to a bigger house? I was like, oh, don't be silly. We're just about making the mortgage as it is. We don't need a bigger house. We've got Bethany, it's fine. And he kind of left it. And the next time he came, he goes, Tim, when are you going to move to a different house? It's like, Ron, thanks so much for your advice, but we're fine. It's fine as it is. Friends, I want to tell you, it's really a problem when you trust a big God, and then when you get into a habit of saying it's fine as it is, when God is saying something else. But anyway, we fell into that trap. Then as time goes on, we then got a chance to buy a house from a lovely Christian family, the other side of the Hollywell estate. And we thought, well, maybe Ron will be happy now. So we moved house, and Hannah, our second daughter, came along, and he came and visited us again. He goes, when are you going to move to a different neighborhood? It's like, Ron, we just moved house for you to shut you up. But you know, the heart of God sometimes is, look, I've seen what you've got right now, but I've got bigger plans. That's the heart of God for many of us, is we settle for too little. I'm not saying that it's not some middle class God. You understand that. This is not about having a... But this was the heart of God for us. And sure enough, he kept on saying it. It's like, well, okay, we appreciate that and go back to Texas. And then Helen has a dream and she sees Park Avenue. Not Park Lane. That would have been good, wouldn't it? She sees Park Avenue. She said, I think we need to get a house in Park Avenue. We thought Park Avenue in Watford. And that's a bit posher than we ended up in. But we ended up in Park Avenue in North Bushy. And we bought a house from, again, a lovely Christian family. Got a four-bedroom house for a ridiculous price. I wouldn't even want to tell you what we paid for it, because you'd all be like, why did they get that? I don't want to inspire jealousy. I want to inspire faith. Yeah? Is God had a plan. And Ron, 10 years before, was whispering the heart of God. When are you going to go beyond? There's a spacious place for you. In fact, I remember when Clive and Joy Ross moved into their current house. I remember when we helped move them in on that day and we unpacked these boxes. And Clive, at the back of where their kitchen is, there was some kind of like patio slabs, I remember, and some kind of decking, but it was all... And Clive's like, right, can we get rid of this? It's like, but you're just moving in now. Why do you want to start destroying the property? We just the box is not even unpacked. And I remember you saying, no, I've got a plan. No, we're going to do something here. It's like, but it's fine as it is. But you know, when someone's got a plan in their mind, Clive, then, and maybe it was Joy's plan and Clive did it. I don't know how that worked out. But they've now got a beautiful deck at the back of their house on two levels, one of those little portable hot tubs. It's basically like a lounge outside. It's probably half the size of this room. It's ridiculous. But they had a plan, and now for Joy's business with childminding, and it's just a brilliant, amazing space full of people. Can you hear the heart of God when he says, I want you to build an addition. I want you to stretch out your place, enlarge your home, because there's people coming that you've not even met yet. That's the heart of God, it seems to me. He's got a plan. And when it comes to us personally, this is a word for someone here today. This is a very strong word. The Lord is saying, you've settled way too quickly because I've got so much more I want to do. And definitely for us as a church family, it's time for us to expand our home to welcome in all the people he's going to bring in. Because this building is here to reach the lost and the broken. And there are over 80,000 people in Watford that have yet to experience the filling of the Holy Spirit that comes from the confession of Jesus Christ as Lord. This town, there are people, there are families who are broken. If only they could come to a place and hear the word of the Lord and be welcomed in as they are and accepted and loved into the kingdom. That's why this building is here. The Wellspring Church Center was not here for you. Well, it was for some of you who've become Christians since you started coming. It was for you. This building is not for me and it's not for you. It's for all those people who, if only they could receive an invitation into a place where they could meet with God. Oh, if only they knew. And I'm not sure how many of those 80,000 people we don't want to welcome in to Wellspring Church. Not just welcome. You understand the heart of what I'm saying. And so this building was built to reach those who are not here yet. And so as you see on the screen, the time is now to expand our home for those that are coming. Do you know, last week, we had 32 children in one of the classrooms just behind where you're sitting there. 32 children for an hour having an Easter party. It's very hard to do that in a tiny room with 32 people. We have to expand this building. Can I hear any amens? It's gone very quiet in here. I believe what God wants to do is to see that wall knocked down, to see that pushed back, to see everything built out there because of the people he wants to bring in. Not for us, but for all those who've yet to join us. Can I hear an amen to that? This is what we're going to do, right? We're going to not just hear the word of God say, oh, that's nice. I hope someone else does that. Actually, through our prayers and through our giving and our investment and our faith, we're going to see those walls come crashing down in the name of Jesus. Why? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is still the only means by which the people of Watford can receive the salvation of their souls. Can I hear an amen? And actually, only the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit is enough to give them power to live life on purpose for the rest of their days into eternity. So therefore, this is really important, that we stand in faith and that we pray this thing. So what we're going to do, we're going to have like a 3-minute prayer meeting. Is that all right? We're going to pray for the destruction of these walls. Maybe let's wait until they've actually built something there and then they'll knock the wall down. But we're going to pray, and we might have been praying this for years. This might be the first time you've done this, but we're going to pray together that the expansion of our homes will see many come to know Jesus for themselves. Can I hear an amen? I wonder if you could stand. And I'm going to ask people who are on that outside wall there just to go and lay your hands on the wall. As many as possible on this wall as well, on the front wall, you might want to move, and we're going to pray this down. And what's going to happen is we're going, move out of your seats. Come on, guys. Put your hands on the wall. Join with me, and this wall's going to go one day. Okay, this wall's going to go, and that wall is going to go. Well, some of it will anyway. And we're going to pray prophetically that God will see the expansion of our home, because you know what? Miracles are on their way, and people are on their way. So find a piece of wall and bless it. And the band are going to lead us in a song. I'm going to hand back over to Steph. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, for the faith that is rising up. Thank you that we are going to see more people that you're bringing into this building. And so, God, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We pray according to the faith that you're giving us. We pray these walls down, Lord. We pray, let your kingdom come. We say, Spirit, would you break out in this town for revival of people to come to know you and come to love you and give their lives to you. And Lord, for all the boys and the girls and the men and the women, we say, God, would you break these walls down, and all the unbelief in our hearts, we leave it behind today. And we say, God, have your way. Have your way. Let's keep raising our voices, church. Let's keep praying, and let's sing these walls down in Jesus' name. Thanks for listening to this recording. We hope it has encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've heard the voice of God and been aware of his presence with you wherever you are. Do share with us any answers to prayer, or get in touch if there is any way we can help you further on your journey with God. Come and see us on Sunday, or you can email us at admin@wellspring-church.org. May God be near you, and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.